And then let me ask you, if you would, to meet me in Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 3. If you're there, say amen. If you wished you knew where it was, say amen. Romans 12 and verse 3. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, God's plan for distribution. Verse 3. For by the grace, the favor, that was given me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. For we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith, in service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who acts with mercy with cheerfulness. The ancient city of Rome was blessed with one of the most dynamic congregations that the world has ever known. In chapter 1 and in verse 8 of the book of Romans, Paul says that the faith of the church of Rome had been reported throughout the whole world. So the entire ancient world was acquainted with the faith of these Christians. Yet, this dynamic congregation was very unique. And it was unique in a number of ways. First, the ancient congregation in Rome was unique in that this was a congregation that Paul was not familiar with. Now, Paul is writing to this church a letter, but at this point in time, Paul had never been there, and in fact had never been to the city of Rome. In chapter 1 and in verse 10, Paul says that I long someday to come to Rome to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts. In chapter 15 of the book of Romans, Paul goes into more detail. And basically what Paul says is that Paul says, I want to go to Rome. And I want to set up a base of operation in Rome. And then from the congregation in Rome, I want to spread out and head into Spain where I can preach the gospel in places that I have never preached the gospel before. So this church is unique in that this was a congregation that Paul was not familiar with. But another reason that the church in Rome was unique is that this was a congregation that was not established by any apostle. Now, I understand that the religious world believes that the Apostle Peter established the church in Rome and had some great preeminence in it. But what I'm telling you is that there is not one shred of evidence. There is not one iota of evidence, either in the Bible or outside of the Bible, that even hints to the fact that the Apostle Peter or that any apostle established the ancient church in the city of Rome. This congregation was established by Christians who had been converted in other places and then they had moved to the city of Rome. Because Rome was the capital of the Roman Empire. Because Rome was the greatest city, it was the imperial city of the ancient world, so it was a city in which many people would migrate to. Now stay with me, because we're getting there. In the 9 congregational letters that the Apostle Paul wrote that are found in the New Testament, the books from Romans through 2 Thessalonians are 9 in number. They are Paul's letters to congregations. Now stay. In every one of these congregational letters, Paul was personally familiar with all of them. And in these 9 congregational letters, the Apostle Paul wrote every one of them in order to meet an immediate need or in order to take care of a situation or a problem that had arose in one of those congregations that needed his attention. So he writes the letter to them to take care of that need or that situation. Do you understand? That is true with every one of those letters except for the letter to the church at Rome. So the book of Romans can be divided easily into 2 parts. In chapters 1 through 12, the chapters 1 through 11, Paul is deeply theological. In chapters 12 through 16, Paul is practical. Half of the book is doctrine. The other half of the book is duty. In chapters 1 through 11, Paul talks about salvation that is in faith in Christ Jesus, and he talks about what all that encompasses, and then beginning in chapter 12 through chapter 16, we have basic teachings concerning the church and concerning New Testament Christianity. Now, focus with me on the passage that we just read in Romans 12. This is one of those basic teaching passages. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is talking about what the church is supposed to be. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is talking about what our function is as a church. Now look what he says. In verse 3, he starts out talking about humility. And he says, "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to. Be humble." Then in verse 4, he tells us why we should be humble. He says, because we are all one body. Just like your physical body, there are many members of your physical body, but it's all under one head, and it's one single body. And Paul says that's the way the body of Christ is, the church. There are many of us here, but brethren, we are all under one head, Jesus Christ, and all of us together, we make one body, the church. Are we there? Paul says that in this one body, we do not all have the same function. But in this body, every single one of us have the same purpose. From the least of us to the greatest of us. From the first row to the last row, and every row in between, all of us have the same purpose in Christ. That purpose is to take the gift that God has given to you and to use it in such a way as to bring glory to Him. Now watch. Go with me beginning again in verse 6. And realize this is not an exhaustive list of every gift. This is a representative list of just some of the gifts that God gives to us. Look at verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the favor that God's given to us. So we don't all have the same function. Let us use them. Now here is this representative list. If prophecy, today we call that preaching. If your gift is preaching, then preach. If your gift is serving, then serve. If you have the gift of teaching, then you can teach. If you have the gift of encouragement. Now listen, there are some people, every time you get around them, they make you feel better about yourself and the situation you're in. He says, if one contributes in generosity, there are other people who have the ability to make money. I don't know any of them either. But what I have been told, there are some people, every time they pick up a rock, money's underneath it. They just have the ability to make money. He says, if that is your gift, he says, then be generous with it. He says, if you have the gift to lead, leadership, then do it. If you have the ability to act with mercy, then do it and be compassionate. Now here's the whole sermon. God's plan for distribution is this. God gives to us gifts. Every one of us. God expects us to take this gift and to use it for ourselves, for what we need from it. And then to take what remains of this gift and to share it with others. That's God's plan for distribution. That, brethren, is God's plan for distributing to the whole world what He wants out there. God gives to us gifts. We take that gift in, we use it for what we need, and then we take the excess of it and we share it with others, and that way God distributes what He wants to the whole world. Let me illustrate. Let's say that you're inviting six people to come to your house for dinner. Six people. And they say, okay, what do you want me to bring? And you say, look, you don't have to bring anything. This night is going to be about food and fellowship. You just bring yourself and bring your appetite. It's food and fellowship. So these six people come over and you have prepared the meal. So people start to eat. Now let me ask you something. Are you going to partake of the meal? Well, yeah. You are going to partake of the meal, and then what? You are going to share the excess with others. That is exactly the same pattern that God wants us to follow with every gift that He has given to us. Take what God gives you, use it for what you need, use it like you need to use it to the glory of God, and then take the excess of it and share it with somebody else. If you got it, go like this. All right. Now, I want to share with you this morning three very specific things that God wants distributed to the whole world. Three things that God wants everybody out there to have. Number one, God's plan to distribute to the whole world, number one, the gift of encouragement. Encouragement. Now, turn your Bible to, that's that thing in front of you, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I love to hear them pages. Unless they flip too long. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Watch it. Who, that is God, comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You got it? You have a troubling circumstance in your life. Your life gets turned upside down. So what do you do? You go to God and you ask God for comfort. You ask God to encourage your heart. So then what does God do? God encourages you. God comforts you. You're able to pick yourself up off of the floor. But God has not given you this gift of encouragement. God has not comforted you so that you could take that gift and hold on to it for yourself and not share it with anybody. But God has given you this comfort so that when you are comforted, you may then go out and find somebody else who's in a trying circumstance and share with them that comfort and encouragement of heart that God has given to you. Listen, that's the plan. Now watch verse 5. Look carefully now, verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. What does that mean? What that means is that God gives you more encouragement than you need. Now wait. Why would God give me more comfort than I need? So that I can take of it what I do know to get myself back together and then take the excess of what God has given me and share that with somebody else. God's plan for getting encouragement to the whole world is that God encourages His people when they are down and out. He encourages them with what they need. He encourages them with more than they need so that they may then go out and find somebody who was in the shape they were in when we were down and couldn't get up and say, hey, I got something for you here. You understand? Now, I'm going to say it. The most miserable Christian in the world are those who receive and take from God and never share with others what they receive. God pity the Christian who receives encouragement from God and never encourages anybody else. God pity the Christian who gets help when they're hurting and then will not help others who are hurting. God pity the Christian who gets help when they are suffering and then will not reach out to somebody else who is suffering. The plan is that God gives to us so that we can rise and help somebody else. So God's plan to distribute encouragement to everybody in the world is He gives it to us, and we share it with others. Number two, the second gift that God distributes to the world through us is the gift of salvation, the message of Christ. Now, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a statement that Paul makes to Timothy. Paul has come to the end of his life. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Paul says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust it to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, I want you to look at the generations that are in that one verse. First, there is Paul. Paul received his revelation miraculously, directly from the Lord in Acts 9 when Saul was knocked to the ground. And he was led into the city, and 3 days later, Ananias come to him and said, "Now, Saul, you've been fasting and praying for 3 days. That's great. But now it's time you have to be converted." And he was baptized into Christ. So Paul then takes this message he has received, and what does Paul do with that message? Paul secures his own salvation. He assures his own salvation, and then Paul takes that message and he shares that with Timothy. And having shared it with Timothy, Paul then tells Timothy, "Now, Timothy, the message that I've shared with you, I now want you to take that message and I want you to go and tell other faithful people about that message." Then what did Paul want those whom Timothy taught that message to do? To do the same thing with it. Timothy, you're going to teach them so that the them can then go out and teach others. The greatest gift that God gives to any of us is the gift of salvation. But God has not given to us the gift of salvation so that we keep it to ourselves. He's given us that gift like the other gifts so that we can share that gift with others. We take the message and we share the message with others that they may be blessed with the gift of salvation, just like we have been blessed with that gift of salvation. Now, I want you to honestly think about this. What would happen if a group of scientists discovered a cure for cancer? These scientists figured out how to slow down those blood counts. And you may die of old age, and you may die getting run over in the church parking lot, but nobody's going to die from cancer anymore. Because we've got an injection that will cure them. And what if those scientists didn't share that? What if they said, "Look, you know how much money is being made off these treatments? We'll hold this." Can you imagine the outcry? Not just from America, but from all over this globe. People would be talking about this atrocity. And brethren, it is. It would be an atrocity. Why? Because medicine is not something that was ever intended to be hoarded. Medicine was intended to be shared with those who need it. This message is God's medicine. This message is God's injection in order to cure men and women of a spiritual cancer that the Bible describes as sin. And the plan is for those of us who have this gift to share this gift with others. How else will they ever get it? Every Christian has a mission field. Now, there are some, their mission field is China. And there are other whose mission fields are in parts of Africa. But for the vast majority of us, our mission field is in an office building somewhere. It's in a factory somewhere. Our mission field is a friend or a neighbor or a family member. But every one of us who names the name of Jesus Christ and who has been washed in His blood, we have a mission field. And God places before every one of us opportune moments that we may reach others with this gift we have. This Bible teaches beyond doubt that through His providential work, God places certain people in certain places at certain times that they may come face to face with us. If you think the meeting in Acts 8 between Philip and the eunuch was an accident, you're wrong. If you think the Philippian jailer crying to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" is an accident, you are wrong. God orchestrated that meeting. And God today doesn't miraculously orchestrate these meetings, but through His providential work, God brings us to certain people. But we must seize that moment. Years ago, Cliff Russell and myself were out one night. We hit like 3 or 4 bars and then we didn't. I'm seeing if you're listening. We knocked on this lady's door who had visited here. And she opened the door and her eyes like bugged. And I said, "My name," and she threw her hand up. She said, "Stop." She says, "I know who you are, and I know who he is. Come in." Now, this was back in the day when you knock on somebody's door, and number one, not get blown off of it, and number two, you weren't afraid to go into the house. So we entered in the front door. It was the living room, and then the next room was the dining room, and I noticed the light was on in the dining room. So we walked through her living room, went into the dining room, and she says, "I need you to sit." So Cliff took a chair, I took a chair, and we sit at this dining room table. And she sat down. She came to church here 30 years. That soul still, she's bless her heart. She's old and sick. She said, "I'm sitting right here in this spot and I'm asking God, I'm confused. I need you to help me to understand what it is you want me to do, how I'm supposed to do it." And she says, while I'm talking to God, you two knocked on the door. Well, I got under the table at this point. Now listen to me. Listen. Nothing miraculous about it. But God providentially works in this world. He works in this world. We know that all things work together for good, that those who love God and those who called according to His purpose, if God isn't at work in the world, in the means of providence, that verse means nothing. If you don't believe that God still works in the world, why would you ever pray for anybody to get well? Now, let me tell you something. Next Sunday, the world is going to get together, quote, and celebrate Easter. Now, I celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. Every Sunday. But listen, listen to me. There will be people who will get up, who will dress up, and, quote, go somewhere, quote, to church, who won't do it again next year. This is an opportunity for us. This is an opportunity for us. Listen, I might invite somebody who will come in here, and their coming in here might allow us to get a foot in the door to explain this thing further to them. God gives to us the gift of encouragement, and God wants us to use that gift to encourage others. God has given to us the gift of the message of salvation, and God wants us to use that gift to reach other people. That's God's plan. Number three, very quickly. The third thing that God wants to distribute to the whole world is the gift of forgiveness. Forgiveness. You say, well, how does this differ from what you just said? Turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter, quickly, and we're on our way. Matthew 6, verse 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, brethren, forgiveness is a great and wonderful gift from God. But the Lord makes it pretty clear that if you don't take this gift and share it with somebody else, God can take it back. Brethren, there are too many of us who are like the Dead Sea. You know why it's the Dead Sea? Because it takes and never gives. The Dead Sea is located in the Jordan River Valley. And mainly it's the Jordan River that feeds into the Dead Sea. But there are other streams and canals and such that also stream into the Dead Sea. And so the Dead Sea is receiving and receiving and receiving, but on the other end, it's never given anything back. It takes and takes and takes, but it never gives. Are you listening? It takes, but it never gives. And when we take and take, and when we receive and receive and never give back, that is a sure formula for spiritual death. So brethren, listen to me. God gives to us encouragement so that we may share that encouragement with others. And if we do not share that encouragement, we die spiritually. God gives to us the message of salvation that we may share with others, and if we fail to share with others, we die spiritually. God gives to us the gift of forgiveness that we may stand right before Him in the day of judgment, but if we don't share that with others who cross us, we die spiritually. So Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Because all of us are a part of the same body. We don't all do the same thing, but we all have the same purpose. To glorify God with the gifts that He has given to us. To glorify Him with what He has given to us. And when we take things like encouragement and salvation and forgiveness, and when we share that with others, what you need to realize is that it passes through us, and that through us, God is able to reach the entire world with what He wants distributed. So this week, you're going to meet somebody who needs to be encouraged. They're going to stand right there face to face with you. This week, you're going to come face to face with somebody that you need to talk to about their soul. Well, I don't know what to say to them. Then invite them to come to a worship service. This week, somebody is going to do something or say something to you, and you're going to need to forgive them, and you need to forgive them. Because if you want it, you got to give it. It's God's plan for distribution. He gives to me, I give to others, and through us, we become that conduit to distribute and to bless the whole world. This morning, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian. Believing with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, changing your life, that's repentance. Confessing your faith and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you've allowed yourself to become overwhelmed by the circumstances you are in, walking away from God isn't going to help this. You got to come to Him. And when you come to Him and humble yourself, God will lift you up. If you're here this morning, if you're subject to the invitation of Christ, God help you to come forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.